Good morning. May it please the court. Rose Lindsay for Mr. Dewan Booker. Your Honors, Mr. Booker is claiming procedural error in his sentencing. The district court added 5 years to his sentence and did not tie that sentencing enhancement to the sentencing factors under 3553A. The court mentioned in the sentencing hearing, mentioned the gun only 2 times. And looking to the record on appendix page 30, the first time the court mentioned the gun, the court said, but the government makes another argument, which is the argument about the weapon and the argument about the circumstances which preceded the offense.
And then he says, I'm quite sure the defendant did possess a weapon. And your argument struck me as a little strange because in the end, Mr. Booker gets a below-guidelines sentence. It's not as much below the guidelines level as it would have been without the extra 5 years for the gun. But why is it unreasonable for a district judge to look at what Congress thinks a gun is worth in assessing how much of the sentence ought to be applied for that gun? The judge looks, he sees, well, 60 months, you know, that seems to make sense to me. I don't see why Congress's assessment of an appropriate penalty is any more subject to being disregarded than, say, an advisory guideline.
That's correct, Your Honor. The court is certainly entitled to consider what Congress deems as an appropriate punishment. However, here the district...
And here he makes the finding that there was a gun, and he looks to see, well, you know, should I disregard it altogether? Should I add on something? He adds on that amount, and I know he doesn't, you know, roll through again all the 3553A factors, but I don't see why this produces an unreasonable result.
Mr. Booker's concern here is the district court's very limited discussion of the appropriateness of the enhancement with respect to 3553A. Now, as this court is well aware, Gall and Rita have made very clear that the district court needs to articulate a reasoned analysis specifically tied to the Section 3553A factors so that, number one, it will allow for meaningful appellate review, and number two, and more importantly, often, to promote the perception of fair sentencing. Mr. Booker, in this case, got very limited discussion from the district court here about the 3553 factors that supported this 5-year enhancement. Now, if we step back a second and we actually go back into the pre-sentence report.
That enhancement, is that for carrying the gun in relation to a drug crime, or was that for his being a felon in possession?
For carrying a gun in relation to a drug offense.
What was the significance for his sentence of his being a felon in possession?
That count was actually dismissed.
I see. So he wasn't, well, it could still have entered, presumably, into sentencing, but
certainly
it didn't. Is that, is there no mention of it in the sentencing?
No, there's no mention of him just being a felon in possession of a firearm.
That would have been a ground for a heavier sentence, right?
Actually, it would have. Well, if we step back to the pre-sentence report, he was actually given a 2-level increase for having possessed a dangerous weapon, namely a firearm, in connection with the offense.
No, that's different from being a felon in possession.
That's true.
A different offense.
Now, if he had maintained the count of the felon in possession, that would have been wrapped into that calculation under the guidelines with the grouping.
Wouldn't it be related conduct? So even if it were dropped, it would still enter into sentencing?
Certainly. The judge is certainly entitled to consider all of those
factors. Apparently it didn't. It wasn't anything anyone was thinking about as a...
It didn't appear to come out in any way in the sentencing hearing. In the 2 instances where the district court talked about the gun, as I mentioned before, he mentioned that he believed and made a finding that the gun had been possessed in connection with a drug offense in spite of the jury being unable to come to a conclusion on that point. But then when the court imposed sentence, the court said, and this was the second time it mentioned the gun, the court said it thought an appropriate measure was to take a look at the 240-month mandatory minimum and to consider also the 60 months that would have come with the weapon.
So I want to stay there because it really, as you read this sentencing transcript, the judge is of the view that the statutory minimum, the 240 months, isn't quite enough for this guy. And he's also of the view that the 360 months, which are the floor of the advisory guideline range that the PSR comes up with, is too much. So it's like the three bears, right? You know, that's too much, that's too little. He's looking around for something in between. He makes a comment about the incorrigibility of this defendant. He's been under some short sentences and didn't take the lesson that he should have, went down the same path again. And so it seems to me we can call that, you know, specific deterrence of this guy, if that's what you want to call it. It's a 3553A factor. And he thinks that he's looking for how much should he go up from the 240-month minimum and thinks that the 60 months makes sense. Now, I agree with you. This is extremely short as a discussion, and we have been reluctant to tell the judges that they've got to have, you know, no less than a 15-page discussion or something. I mean, it's very hard to say. It's pretty clear to me, though, that he thinks this guy's got some redeemable characteristics. He doesn't want to go all the way up even to the minimum of the guidelines, so he gives him a below-guideline sentence, but not as much, not all the way down to the statutory minimum.
That is true, but one thing that is a little bit concerning in the court's analysis is that the court actually talks about and refers to the nature of the offense a couple times. And as I mentioned before, because the gun enhancement was already wrapped into that guidelines calculation that the court set aside and rejected as too high, let me just point the court to a couple places in the transcript. The court actually refers to on page appendix A31. The district court, I'm sorry, page 30. The district court first talks about how 240 months is the minimum, the lowest possible sentence that could be applied in that case. And that follows a discussion of the nature of the offense, the quantities of drugs, and things like that. So the court is talking about and considering the nature of the offense and then concludes that 240 is probably the minimum. The court then...
He doesn't contest that, I take it.
No.
But there's okay.
No, yeah. There was a mandatory minimum of 20, and Mr. Booker understands that he wasn't going any lower than that. But then just a couple paragraphs later on appendix page 30, the district court then says, and it seems that the 30 years is too long, not so much because of the nature of the offense, although there's an element of that as well. It is that I do believe he can be redeemed and talks about other things there. So the court is talking about the nature of the offense in a couple places. And if the pre-sentence report, the overall guidelines range, had already incorporated this element of the gun, it seems that the judge should have been including discussion of the firearm there as well. But instead, the district court then separates the analysis and basically looks at the gun as entirely separate from that analysis and adds an additional 5 years. And in doing so, provides nothing in terms of 3553 analysis and makes a very clear reference to the statute for which Mr. Booker was not convicted, 924C. The court simply says, I'm going to also consider the 60 months that would have come with the weapon. That is not a reference to 3553. That's a reference to Congress's pronouncement of what it deems an appropriate sentence for that type of an offense. And so in that
But this is where he's saying particular circumstances, an appropriate measure, not a mandatory measure under the law. So he knows that there's no 924C conviction. Just to take a look, consider also the 60 months it would have come. Don't you think that indicates he's aware of in a sense, the reasoning by analogy he's engaging in?
It could be, but unfortunately, given this record, it's not at all clear what specifically he's relying on in terms of 3553 to support that precise five-year enhancement, which is the precise sentence that would come under 924C.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Lindsay. Mr. Shaw?
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Manish Shah, and I represent the United States. The Section 3553 doesn't give judges numbers, and the district court judge needs to come up with a number that the judge believes is an appropriate measure of the harm caused by the defendant's conduct. So it is not unusual for the district court judge, when reaching the number, to not specifically reference 3553A. And in this case, what the district court judge did is exactly, Judge Wood, what you see in the transcript, which is, I need to find an appropriate measure of the harm given the facts that I have found. And frankly, I think we want to encourage the courts to be looking to Congress when trying to determine what numbers to affix to sentences.
Well, there's an element of fiction here. You can't be in the crack business without a gun, right? It's suicide.
Well, certainly, Your Honor, there's no question.
Well, I mean, the notion of adding an enhancement for a gun, did it make any sense? Are there crack dealers? Are there peace-loving crack dealers who go about unarmed? I bet they don't last long.
There may very well be crack defendants who are charged with a crime in which no gun is recovered.
And there may well be. Doesn't the Justice Department know?
Certainly, Your Honor, and if the court were...
I don't understand. You wanted a 30-year sentence for him.
We recommended a guideline sentence, yes,
Your Honor. Well, I would think you'd have some knowledge about whether the possession of a gun really distinguishes one crack dealer from another, or they all have a gun, in which event it would be silly to talk about enhancement.
Well, Your Honor, I don't believe this was an enhancement. This was simply a fact.
I know, but if every crack dealer is armed, then it doesn't make any sense to say, well, I'm sentencing you to 20 years because you're a crack dealer and 5 years more because you carried a gun, right?
If every crack dealer carries a gun and every crack case, this judge felt that every crack case warranted a 20-year sentence, I think the court may very well be correct there. But that's not what the district court judge here was saying. What the district court judge here was saying was, I think the minimum that would be appropriate for this type of offense would be 20 years.
Because of the gun?
All the judge said was because of the nature of the case.
But I know, but if every crack dealer has a gun, then it doesn't make any sense to talk about enhancements for possession of a gun.
Your Honor, there's a difference between the district court saying what I think the minimum punishment appropriate for this type of case would be.
He didn't say minimum appropriate. He said the 240 months would be the lowest possible sentence, and that's true simply as a matter of law, since it was a statutory mandatory minimum.
Correct, Your Honor, and that's not the judge saying
I don't think the judge ever said the lowest appropriate sentence would be 240. I think he's just starting to outline the range of his discretion. He says, I can't go below 240. That's the lowest number that's going to come out of this sentencing proceeding. And he knows that the guidelines have recommended 360 months, and so now he's making a decision. Does he want to be inside the guidelines, or does he want to be outside the guidelines? I think the top of the guidelines was life, right? So there's no significant discussion to be had about the highest possible sentence.
I think as you read the transcript, you see the judge trying to determine what is the appropriate sentence. And when he's referencing the mandatory minimum or the lowest possible sentence, he's not saying, and that is the sentence I think should be given. He's saying that is the lowest possible sentence that could be given. But there was a gun here. And I don't believe that it requires...
Yes, well, that's my problem, because if there's always a gun, then it doesn't make any sense to add on years for having a gun. That's why I'm asking you. You know, you're a prosecutor. Are there crack dealers who are on, who don't have guns?
Your Honor, there are, and if necessary, we can make a submission to the court.
No, it's just curiosity, really.
Can you remember any?
In my personal career, Your Honor, no. Which is not to say that I am an experienced crack prosecutor. I do believe, and I am aware of drug cases in which no guns are present at the scene and charged as part of an individual defendant's conduct. We don't, not every drug case and not every drug indictment returned in this building has a 924C count. They're not part and parcel of every.
This crack business is special. This is, right, this is not like, you know, selling prescription drugs improperly to Rush Limbaugh or someone.
Well,
it's a different.
I would also add
stratum of the illegal drug business.
I would also add, Your Honor, that the guideline range here in this case did not account for the firearm. The guideline range here was the career offender guideline, and the career offender guideline applied whether or not there was a gun.
This is perhaps idle and irrelevant, but I do not see what rational basis any of these sentences have. And why would you want this fellow to be in prison for 30 years? So that puts him into his 60s when he gets out. What's the point of that? Probably won't have these laws in 30 years. It just seems so arbitrary. Where do these numbers come from?
Well, these numbers came from the Sentencing Commission. And that's...
They're suspiciously round.
Well,
this is all, I don't think there's any factual basis for any of these sentencing. I think it's just, you know, round numbers pulled out of the air and applied mindlessly.
Well, it is the judgment of the court to determine a number. And I hope that there is sufficient rationality in the system in the
number.
Where
did Judge Zagel get the idea that 5 years extra is appropriate because he had a gun?
I think he got the idea from...
Is he trying to discourage crack dealers from carrying guns? Is that the idea?
Well, the idea of the...
So they get killed?
I believe Judge Zagel...
In your argument to Judge Zagel, I think you pointed out that he was in an incident where he was shot at and he returned fire.
That's correct.
Well, if he hadn't returned fire, he might be dead, right? If the other dealers are carrying guns, he has to carry a gun.
Your Honor, I'm not quarreling with the fact that guns are tools of the drug trade that are commonly used by drug dealers, and that is, in fact, an aggravating fact of these crimes that judges should take into account.
Crack dealer has a gun, then it's completely arbitrary to attach a 5-year extra sentence, right?
Well, not if the number, say 240 months, that Congress has established for a crack offense, if a judge doesn't believe that Congress affixed that number by taking into account the presence of guns in crack deals, then it's absolutely reasonable for a judge to say, I understand that 20 years is what Congress says for crack offenses, but all crack offenses involve guns, so I'm going to increase or factor in guns into those sentences. That seems to me to be an entirely appropriate judgment, which is what's going on in the district courts. And I think it is fair for Judge Zagel to have looked at 60 months as a value, and that's what he was doing here.
Does he always give a... Does he always raise a drug sentence 5 years if there's a gun?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
Mr. Shaw, in the transcript, the judge says that I'm quite sure the defendant possesses a weapon. This is on record.
Yes.
And it makes perfect sense for him to do so. And then it goes on about illegal business. How should we read that as to this discussion you're having with Judge Posner about it's already built in, so to speak? Does that detract from your position in any way, or is it in support? I just don't know. I mean, he's making the assessment that it makes perfect sense for him to have it, and then he makes the finding he did have it. How do we fit that into this initial 20-year presumption?
What I understood the judge to be saying there at the time of sentencing was a comment on the validity of the finding that the gun was there. You know, the jury had not been able to reach a verdict on the question
right.
of whether the gun. And so what the judge was, I understood him to be saying is, I find that he had the gun because it makes sense. And he's drawing the appropriate inferences and evaluating the evidence. It makes sense that he had the gun, and so I'm finding that he had the gun because that fits with his understanding. I don't believe it was an assessment of harms or a weighing of that aggravating circumstance. For the reasons set forth in our brief, we ask that the court affirm the conviction and sentence of the defendant. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Ms. Lindsay, do you have anything further?
Nothing further.
Okay, well, thank you. And you're the defenders. Yes. Well, we thank you very much for your efforts on behalf of your client.